At the beginning of Perikate Samavarcha, the Mishnah says that there's a distinction between Yayin and Pas and other foodstuffs, because logically Yayin is what we call pre ha'etz. It's the produce of the tree, of the, in this case, the vine. But yet we will not make a bar pri ha'etz. The Chazal separated Yayin from other fruits that grow from the tree, and it requires its own bracha. In the case of pas, even though it comes from the ground, we don't make a borei prihadama, but we rather have Chazal organize the separate bracha, because the chashivas of lechem, hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. It's clear from the Lashana Mishnah that Yayin is called prihaaretz, right? That's what the Mishnah says, except that even though it's prihaaretz, we recite a separate bracha, bar priya gofen. And it seems from the Mishnah in Trumas, the Mishnah says in the 11th parak of Trumas, Ein sofken arboim mishum arla ela yotzim and azesim vanovim, the ein mivim bikurim mashkim ela yotzim and azesim vanovim. So it's clear that the produce that comes from zesim vanovim, that means oil and wine, has the status of Orla, and you'll get Malkus if you drink Yain of Orla. And as far as the Chiyuv of Bikurin is concerned, which once again is the Chiyuv of Peros, you will have an obligation of Bikurin even if you took your grapes and you squeezed the grapes and made wine out of it. So in general, the rule is with regard to Peros, Mashkin Ayotzen and Peros Lav Kemosam. They don't have the same status as the Pri itself. But the two exceptions are Yayin V'Shemen. And our Mishnah seems to indicate that despite the Chal Hashem Pri in Yayin, nevertheless, the Chazal were Mesakin a separate Bracha. Now the Chiddush here in Hilchas Brachos is a tremendous Chiddush to say that technically wine is included under Peros, because in Hilchas Brachos we require what's called a tsura. In other words, you have to maintain the original identity. Like, for example, if let's say you would make a soup and you use vegetables in the soup, or let's say you have a tavshil and you crush up the vegetables in such a way that they're no longer identifiable, that's called hafkas tsura sapri, then the bracha will always go down to the level of shahakol niyavidvara, which is a bracha klolis. So you and I would think that when you take a grape and you smash it until you bring, you know, take out the liquids, it doesn't have a tsura sapri. Now you've radically changed the appearance of the pri, and yet, even though it doesn't have a tsusa pri, theoretically you could make a bar priya eitz and call it a peri, except for the fact that chazal were masakin a new bracha. Take for example chutz min apas, also in this mishnah, that in the case of bar priya hadoma, you would lechora need a tsuras priya hadoma. And to make a bar pri adoma on a loaf of bread, on a slice of bread, would seem to be antithetical, because we don't have a tsura sapri. Now there is a possibility that although in Peros Ha'ilan we require a tsura sapri, maybe in pri adoma we don't require a tsura sapri. So getting back to the case of a soup, a vegetable soup, it could be even if you would remove all the vegetables and you're still left with the liquids, you would still maintain a bar pri adoma. I mean, that's going to be a sugya later on. Now the Gemara asks, where minani bili, how do we know that you're not allowed to eat anything without reciting a bracha? And the Gemara says, misvara, that we know it from logic. Again, this is not human logic, this is halachic logic. Because in the halachic universe, there's something called me'ila. And me'ila applies to hegdesh. And the Gemara says that al pisvara, everything in the world has a din of hegdesh. Because hegdesh really means mamon hegdesh bekinyano, it's owned by hegdesh, which means it's owned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, "Lashem Aretz Umaloa." So that anytime I enjoy the benefits of this world, I'm embezzling from Hegdesh. I need something to remove the Iser Me'ila. and that is a bracha. Some, again, magically, I don't know how this works, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts that bracha, and he gives us Haaretz Nasan Livnei Adam, the Gemara says, after the bracha. And now, it's no longer Me'ila, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to speak, given me license to enjoy this. Now the question here is, are we dealing with a Doraisa or a Darabana? Because later on the Gemara is going to suggest that perhaps there is a pasuk from which we could derive Birchas Hanenim, Kodesh Ilul Hashem, at the beginning of the sugi was Ahav Amina. The Gemara also plays with the idea of a Kal V'chomer, that if you have to make a bracha after you finish eating, that's explicit in the Torah, how much more so before you eat. And there are all sorts of possibilities that might lead us to the conclusion that Birchas Hanenim is Doraisa. Tosus, on the other hand, Dibra Maskel Elasvara, Tosus says that the entire enterprise of Birchas Hanenim is Darabonah. And that means that even if I were to derive Birchas Hanenim from a Pasuk, the Pasuk is only what we call an Asmachta, but it's not Da'oraisa. And this is the Tosus Dibra Maskel Elasvara, which is right here at the beginning of Parakeitz and Mevarchim. Just open it up here for a split second. Elasvarahu. What about the Krah? What about the Pasuk? I mean, if you tell me it's a Svara, it's a little bit odd that you're looking for a Svara when you have a Pasuk. The answer is the Krah, Liel Asmachta Bi'alma. And the understanding here of Asmachta Bi'alma is that we're dealing with a Derabbanan. So we're dealing with a mitzvah Derabbanan. And that's even if you derive Birchas Hanenim from a pasuk, like Kodesh Ilulim Lashem. It says Ilulim twice, it's in Ribui and Shnayim, and therefore it's a reference to the Bracha Lefaneh. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchas Brachas, writes, Umi Divrei Sofrim Levarech Al Kol Machal Tchila. Now the Rambam seems to be assuming that Birchas Hanenim, like Tosfos, is only Derabbanan, because he calls it Midivrei Sofrim. So I have to tell you honestly, that's very questionable. When the Rambam uses Midivrei Sofrim, we're not exactly sure what he means by that. If he would have said it's Derabbanan. Now Tosfos, back on Daf Yud Beis, when the Gemara, and we discussed this Gemara earlier in the year, talks about a person who began his bracha, you know, in the misimpression that he has to make a bori pri agaf, and then he realizes he's not holding in his hand yayin, but rather he's holding something that looks like yayin, but it's not yayin, it's shechar, and then he's mesayim his bracha with shakol niyah bidvaro, but he started al das bori pri agaf, and the Gemara vacillates back and forth. It's called an ibay delo ifshite. And Tosus concludes in the name of the Ri that in such a case, lechumra. What does it mean, lechumra? That he'll have to repeat the bracha because he started while das to make a bar priya gof and he thought it was wine. And since the bar comes to no conclusion whatsoever, we have to apply the principle of safek, safek lechumra. Now, wait a second. In Derabbanans, we don't say safek lechumra, we say safek Derabbanan lekula. And the one who notices this is Rabbi Kiveger in the Gilyan Ashas, and he writes, Lo Shaykh Chalomer Safik Brachas Lahakel. The Lo Shaykh El Bibirchas HaMitzvist Da Bracha Eino Ma Keves, Al Bibirchas HaNenim Osir Lecho Below Bracha. Now again, it's not clear to me whether Rabbi Kiveger is talking about Birchas HaNenim as a Doraisa or a Drabana. What is possible, I think, and it's feasible and cogent that Rabbi Kiveger agrees that Birchas HaNenim, or all brachas in general, all Derabbanan. Why don't we apply the principle of Lekula? Why does Tosei say Lekum? And the answer is that Derabbanan established an Isur. They made eating without a bracha into Me'ila. Again, it's not Me'ila Doraisa, it's Me'ila Derabbanan. So that in a case of a bracha as a chova, like for example Birchas HaMitzvos, you have an obligation, we're going to say Safek Lekula. But in a case of an Isur, we have to deal with the Safek Isur, and we're going to say Safek Isur Lechumra. And what Rav Kivega is saying, that the Rian Tosus, who says that you have to make a second bracha, is because Asu Lehenos Min Olam Azevlo Bracha. Now, what are we talking about? An Issur Rabbanan, or are we talking about an Issur D'oraisa? Even if I grant you, and Rav Kivega is right here 1,000%, that there's a fundamental difference between a Birchas HaMitzvah and a Birchas HaNenim, the latter is a matir to remove the Issur of Hanom and Olam Below Bracha, but nevertheless, what kind of Issur are we dealing with? In the worst case scenario, if he eats without a bracha, he's only violated Issur Rabbanan. That's the impression we get here from this whole sugya. And Tosa seems to be mefurish, because he says that any pasuk for Birchas HaNenim is only in a smachta. The Rambam says it's only midirei sofrin to require a bracha. So then you're dealing with a suffix Issur Dirabbanan. So why would Rabbi Kivega be comfortable with Tosfos in the name of the Re, that Tosfos says you have to repeat the bracha because of suffix? So you're going to tell me, well, if he eats without a bracha on the side that he didn't make a valid bracha, his bracha was possible, was invalid, so he's violating this Isser of Asur Lehenos Min Olam Hazeh. But if that Isser is only Dirabbanan, why not apply the principle of suffix Dirabbanan Lekula? And it would seem, therefore, that the way Rabbi Kivega is understanding the Re, or if not Rabbi Kivega, the way we should understand the Re, is that the Re in Tosfos is saying that the Issur Achila Below Bracha is an Issur D'oraisa. Which means that on a D'oraisa level, you must have a Birchas HaNenim, otherwise you're going to violate an Issur D'oraisa of Me'ila, of Nenim in Olam HaZeh Below Bracha. And the Pnei Yoshua, it seems, was the first one in the history of Talmudic literature to take the stand that the Chiyuv Birchas HaNenim is D'oraisa. No one had the chutzpah to say such a thing until the Pnei Yoshua came along. But now what we're saying is that perhaps it was the Re and Tosfos a good couple of centuries before the Pnei Yoshua, and especially the way Rabbi Kivega understood the Re, that we have here a situation of a suffix Isser, and therefore we have to be machmir, repeat the bracha. That's only if you assume that the Isser here is D'oraisa. So now we want to fast forward to a Tosfos later on in Masechta Brachos on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis. Let's see, I don't know if I have it here, just let me see. No, unfortunately I don't have it in front of me here. We should always keep a Gemara Brachos around. Oh, is this a Gemara Brachos? Can you see?
Yes.
Oh, great, we have a Gemara Brachos. So let's just see. You want to do me a favor, if you can open up Tadaf Nun Tes Amid Beis, Direi Maskil HaTov, and that's the Sugya of HaTov U'Meitiv, and Tosfos is going to quote a Rashbam, one of the Balei HaTosfos from the family of Rashi. You know, if you bring a second wine out, if you made a Bar Priya Gofen on the first wine, you have to make a Tov HaMeitiv on the second wine. And the Rashbam points out that's only because the second wine is Meshubach. It's Yosef, it's Meshubach Yosef in Arishon. You're not finding it, or? Okay. Nun Tes Amid Beis. Yeah, it's a complicated Gemara because it has all of Zeroyim in it, am I right?
Yeah.
That was well, let me see. Atova Meitiv. And he says here, see if we can find it. It's a long Tosfos, but Pirush HaRashbam. Just one second. Is Ima Achron Tov. Let's say he has a suffix whether the second wine is superior to the first wine. You have to know all the criterion. He says, in such a case, Mi suffix Hoya Lo Levarich Al Kol Echad V'Echad. Shema Meshubachu. That's really strange. He has to make a Tova Meitiv on the second wine because perhaps the second wine is superior to the first wine. I mean, what about the Sofik Lakula, Sofik Brachas Lahakil? And that's how he explains a minhag of Rebbe, that on each Chavis, when he opened the Chavis and he didn't know exactly where the second Chavis contains wine that's superior to the first, he would make a bracha on each one of the chaviyos, says the Rashbam, because he was mesupik. Maybe it's meshubah. Now again, this is a classic case of a birch hashavah for doya. which is certainly a mitzvah drabbanon, is suffering brachas lahakil. How are you? I think we have some photocopies if you want.
Thank you so much.
He says v'tzarech im. He says, I'm not sure I understand what's going on here. Why should we apply the principle of suffix? So just to clue you in, what we're talking about. I don't know if you. I'll wait till you take off your coat, so you'll be able to sit down and gather your wits about you, right? Yishuv Adas, what we call. So there's a very interesting tosus based on a Gemara later on in Brachos that says that if they brought you out a second wine, and the law is that you have to make a tova meitiv on the second wine because it's superior to the first wine, but he doesn't know whether the second wine is better quality than the first or not, then he shouldn't drink the second wine without making a bracha. And this really irritates us because we have a principle called Safek Brachas Lahakel, that if you have a doubt as to whether or not you make a bracha, then you leave out the bracha. Why would you put yourself in a situation to make a bracha vatova meitiv? Maybe the second wine is superior to the first wine. So for that, we're on the second page, or I don't know if you have it double-sided?
Yes.
So you'll see it on page Reish, on page Tuf.
Okay.
So this is going to be a tough page, I warn you. And he says the following, what is Birchas HaNenim? Now it's interesting, because in the constellation of brachos, we really have two fundamentally different types of brachos. One bracha is there to allow us to do something, that's called a matir. But you'll see the word matir on the second line, so you might want to underline that. But generally, when we talk about bracha, the purpose of a bracha is shevach, is to thank Hashem. Now, in this case of birchas hanenim, like a bari pri ha'etz or a hamotzi lechem ha'aretz, the Gemara uses language that certainly indicates that the bracha is a matir, because it says, "Asur li'odim lehenos mi'olam hazeh b'lo bracha." Right, that he's not allowed to enjoy this world without a bracha. It sounds like the bracha is coming in as a matir to allow us to enjoy the benefit of this world. I'll give you another example of a birchas hamatir. The Gemara says that after a man gets married, he has to recite 7 brachas. And the Gemara says that if he doesn't recite the brachas, then it's kinida, like as if she's a woman that's prohibited to him. So he needs these brachas to be matir, to allow an intimacy. He's got to recite those brachas. And here too, he wants to allow eating an apple or whatever it might be. He needs a matir. He needs some force or some agency, some agent that will permit him to do so. And that agency is the bracha itself. So at this point, the impression we get is that if we categorize brachas onto one of two categories, A, are the brachas that come to be matir in Isur, B, the brachas that are pure shevach v'odoya, it would seem that birchas hanenim is a birchas hamatir. However, there's a Gemara later on, a daf nun aleph, boy minei mirav chizda, mishachal v'shosa v'lo birach, ma'al shiachzev yivarech. And Rav Chizda raises the possibility that if you ate something without a bracha, then you make the bracha after you finished eating. Again, we're not talking about a bracha achrona, we're talking about a bracha lefanel, and you've already eaten something. Clearly that bracha could not serve as a matir, you've already eaten what you shouldn't have eaten. Amalei, so the Gemara responds to Rav Chizda, Mishachal shum v'recha nodiv yachsav yochal shum. A person ate garlic and he's got a foul odor coming out of his mouth. So what are we going to tell him to do? To again eat more garlic? That doesn't make sense. You tell him to take, what was the name of that mouthwash that used to be very popular? Anyway.
Listerine.
Listerine, yeah, you should gargle with Listerine.
You shouldn't use Listerine anymore, it's off the list.
And oh, okay, whatever it is, I've used toothpaste.
It gives high blood pressure. They discovered it.
So the Gemara says, Omar Avina Hilka Chafil Gavar Sudase Yachsar V'Yavarech. I have a proof, says Ravina, that even if he finished his whole meal and he forgot to make a bracha, he should go ahead and make the bracha at the end of the meal. Again, we're talking about the bracha Rishona. Tisanya, the Brisa tells us that if a person was Tameh, and he went to be mitar to purify himself, and he jumps into the mikvah, then Bel Yosa, when he comes out of the mikvah, he should recite the bracha, Baruch Hashem Kitzam Mitzos V'Tzivanu Al HaTfilah. In other words, he's going to recite the bracha after he did the Maisa Mitzvah. He's already come up from the mikvah, so you see that it is possible to recite a bracha after the Machayev, after the Maisa was completed. The Gemara says, Velohi, that Ravina's analogy is not cogent, or is not, convincing. Why? Hasam, in the case of Tefillah, I'll tell you why he's going to make the bracha after the Tefillah. It's impossible in the halachic world to have him make the bracha before he goes into the mikvah. Why? Because Meikara, originally in his state of being, Gavra Delo Chazi, he's a person who's not Roy, he's not fit to make a bracha. He's Tomei and he shouldn't be making a bracha. But Hoch, in this case, the man should have made a bracha before he sat down to eat his meal, and if he was a Gavra Chazi, he's not Tomei or anything like that, so that he should have recited the bracha. And therefore, if he didn't recite the bracha before the eating, ho'il v'idchi, he delayed the bracha. Is idchi, the bracha is out of the question. Now, if we're going to assume that birchas hanenim is a birchas hamatir, if you remember, because we said you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha, and that was our initial assumption, then what sense does it make? Number one, according to Rav Chisda, you can make a bracha after you ate already. That's not going to be mat or anything. And number two, how do we make sense out of Ravina's equation? Ravina says that just like someone who went to the mikveh, he can make the bracha when he comes out from the mikveh. He's allowed to make a bracha after he ate something. The analogy is totally off base, because in a case of a matir, if you've already eaten what you needed a matir for, it's not shaykh to make a bracha as a matir. So what was his analogy based on the bracha on the mitzvah of tefillah? He says the following, that the Gemara says ho'il v'idche idche, which sounds like that you have to make a birchas hashevach, and you might say, well, I'm thanking Hashem for the achila. I can do it in one of two ways. I can thank Him before I engage in the achila, before I enjoy the benefits, or after I enjoy the benefits. And the Gemara's final conclusion is that no, this bracha is to be meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in anticipation of the hanah, the benefit of achila that you're going to enjoy. But after you've already enjoyed it, it's too late to recite a shevach vodoya, to thank Hashem and by praising Him. So if that be the case, then once again we see clearly that the final maskot of the Gemara for sure is that we analyze and define, categorize Birchas HaNenim as a Birchas HaShevach. But to say that after he ate he should recite a bracha as a matir, so here you'll see at the end of this first paragraph, Rav Soloveitchik comes up with a pretty radical conclusion. V'nira, he says, it appears to me that the be'emes in truth yeshnei dinim be'birchas hanenim, that birchas hanenim come under both categories. They're not mutually exclusive, but rather they overlap. Number one is a din of matir, number two a din of shevach. And the Gemara thinks that if you cannot recite the bracha as a matir, then at least chutz you can't achieve both dimensions of this mitzvah, but at least get half the mitzvah. Right, so let's say, for example, in Hanukkah, so the best way of lighting Hanukkah is a certain time when there are some people in the market. That's going to expand your pirsum hanes, public. But if you can't do it then, you get back from a trip from I don't know where, and you come home and it's 1 a.m., so you light the Hanukkah candles for the one or two people that might be awake in the house or might be walking on the street. So there are many situations in which we will accept a fallback position in which we don't get the full mitzvah. There are many people who used to tell my father's a Rav of shul, that I can't come to shul. Why can't I come to shul? Because I watch television on Shabbos, so I drive my car on Shabbos. So my father said, it's not an all or nothing proposition. You do the best you can, and whatever you can do, you do. And if you can't do it, ideal. So you get half the mitzvah. You get some of the mitzvahs. Don't take it all. It's not an all or nothing. In Yiddish we say, oh, the gara, the gardens. You know, in Hebrew they say, oh, a kol, a lo klu. You know, it's not like that. It's not, there's a middle path here. So what the Rav is suggesting is that although the ideal mitzvah of bracha was to recite the bracha before you partake in the east, in the food, because you need a bracha mati, but maybe b'di'evet, after post facto you ate the food and you didn't recite the bracha now will not serve as a matir, but at least chodsh, you'll be able to grab onto the kiyum of sheva. And that's what the Gemara is vacillating back and forth until the Gemara concludes that sheva has to be here, in this case, anticipatory sheva, but not post facto sheva. Now let's go back to the possibility, as we said on Daf Yud Beis, you remember, let's just go over, you weren't here. On Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara says that when he began his bracha, he thought he was holding a cup of wine. And he recited the bracha, let's say he thought it was white wine. White wine is very similar in its appearance to beer in certain cases. Or dark wine, you know, today they have black beer. So whatever it is, he had two cups in front of him. So he thought he was picking up a cup of wine. He started the bracha, Brucha to Hashem, and Kevi Melech Olam, which is the Iker of the bracha, and he thought he was going to make a Baruch Priyakom. Then all of a sudden he looks into the cup or he smells it and he realizes this is not wine. And he finishes it, Shahakol Nia Bidvar. So the bracha itself was fine. The Gemara vacillates back and forth whether he requires another bracha. So Tosas says, Lamaskona, we don't have a clear cut answer to the Gemara, and therefore he has to make the bracha again. Says Rabbi Kiveger, I mean, the way we try to interpret it, that a bracha is doraisa. And if the Torah requires a bracha, you're not sure if you fulfilled your mitzvah bracha because you had in mind Baruch Pri Agafa mistakenly, then you have to repeat the bracha because of suffering doraisa l'chumra. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Yesh lomar hainu rak l'gabi din matir shebebirchas haninah. Right, the whole reason why you have to recite a bracha before you eat something, and that's a doraisa, the Gemara says, because it's me'ilah. You'd be stealing from Hegdesh if you enjoyed the benefits of this world and ate food without making a bracha. That could be doraisa. However, Birchas HaShevach would certainly only be derabbanan. So that if you're obligated to repeat the bracha, in that case where you started thinking it was wine, the reason why you have to repeat the bracha is to achieve a Birchas HaMatir. But as far as the Shevach element is concerned, right, that second variable, that second dimension of the bracha, that certainly clearly is only derabbanan. So that when the Gemara on Daf Nun Aleph, Boi Minemir Rav Chisda, raised the possibility that after he ate, can he make the bracha? And now we're saying not as a matir, but as a kiyum Shevach, that for sure would only be a derabbanan. So, for example, in that case, if we don't know whether we paskin, like Rav Chisda, who says that, you know, he should make the bracha, or like Ravina, and the Gemara rejects Ravina, and the Gemara says no, he holds the itchi, la'alacha, we would certainly say Safek Brachas Lahakil. He would not repeat the bracha that, I shouldn't say repeat, I should say recite, that would be a better word. He should not recite the bracha after the meal. Why? Because that certainly comes on the Sofek Brachas Lahakil. It cannot be a Brachas HaMatil because Anenim and Olam HaZeb Lobrach, which might be Doraisa. It would only be a mitzvah of Shevach Derabbanan, and now we have a Sofek Lekula. So let me just think about the Gemara that we mentioned earlier on Daf. Where was it? On Daf Nun Tesam in Beis, am I correct? And that was a case where they brought out wine. He made a bracha Baruch Pri Agafa, and now they bring out more wine. And he's not sure whether or not the second wine is Meshubach. It's more, it's qualitatively superior to the first wine. And Tosas says, the name of Rashbam, that he should make the bracha. So it just occurs to me the following. I'm just throwing out a possibility. The Rashbam would make sense if we're dealing with a bracha to oraisa, because then, because he's in a suffix situation, he's going to apply the principle of suffix to oraisa l'chumra. But as we said before, that's only b'toras birchas hamatir. I don't think that, again, you can argue with me, that the bracha of hatova meitiv is a birchas hamatir. And if we were to subsume it under birchas hashevach, then it's clearly derabbanan, and we should apply the principle of sofek derabbanan l'kula. The impression I get here is that according to Rav Soloveitchik, the status or the categorization of a birchas hatova meitiv on superior wine is a matir, which means that although I thanked Hashem, I expressed my gratitude for God for this kind of wine, let's call it grade A minus wine, now you brought me grade A plus wine, and the original matir is not chal on this second kind of wine, which is a pella when you think about it. You know, my wife brings me out, let's say, vegetable soup, and I say, okay, I make a broth on the vegetable soup, and then I say, Rebbetzin, would you happen to have chicken soup? Because I'm in the mood for chicken soup. And it's, let's say the chicken soup for some reason is mishubach yoter. So you can say, well, I need a matir in order to, it's not enough that I made a bar priyadoma on the vegetable soup. But that's only going to apply to yayin. Because in yayin, we have new regulations in the cancellation of brachas in terms of bar priyagofen, that if you have superior wine, the original bar priyagofen didn't carry you, carry over you. Again, I'm not going to say that you have to repeat bar priyagofen, but you have to repeat at least some bracha to cover the increment between the first wine and the second one as you get a higher quality wine, and that bracha is hatova meitiv. But the tova meitiv is ma'akev in the hanah and the pleasure that he gets from this wine. So there's again an iser of asayod lehenos and sofek iser lechumra. That's one way of explaining the Rashbam. He has in the footnote a different case. What's his case? He calls it a katan. Now, what happens in a katan? So there's Gemara Yevamos that says that if we see a katan eating the vela, then according to at least one opinion, we have to be mafresh him from the vela. We have to make sure the katan doesn't eat the vela. In the case of a father, everybody agrees that he has to be mafresh, he has to make sure that his son, you know, does not eat the vela. Okay, fine. Now, what's the deal with kiyum mitzvahs? The Torah says that a katan is not a bar mitzvah, so he's not chayiv in mitzvahs. On the other hand, we're saying that according to one opinion, he's not allowed to violate isurim. What would be the status of a katan vis-a-vis birchas hanenim? If the katan is included in isurim, but he's not included in mitzvahs, how do I classify Birchas HaNenin? If I classify as a Birchas HaShevach, so it's only a Kiyum Esay. But if I classify it as a Birchas HaMatir, and it might even be Doraisa, then a Katan might be included in Birchas HaNenin. Again, he's not included in Kiyum HaMitzvahs, but he might be included in Isurim. Because we saw that if he eats the Vela, then we have to separate him from the Vela. He says, Yeshlomar, the katan, eino chayv levarech, if we see and classify Birchas HaNenim as Shevach Vodoya, that means a kiyum essay, it's a mitzvah saseh, whether it's Doraisa Drabbanon, then a katan is not chayv in mitzvahs, he's part of Chiyuvim. But if we're going to classify and define Birchas HaNenim as what? As a Birchas HaMatir, then the katan, no less than the gadol, needs a matir, because he's chayv to avoid all violations of all isurim. And therefore, if asu lechol below bracha, then even a katan is asu lechol below bracha. So that's what he's suggesting. A fascinating question about whether a katan needs a bracha. Again, let's say a katan ate without a bracha, he would not be obligated to make the bracha afterwards, because that certainly is a kiyum essay. But before he eats, we classify it as a birchas hamatir, and a katan would also need a matir. So I'm just going to share with you my take on this. I would say the following, that even if birchas hanenim is a matir, I would not say that a katan is included in birchas hanenim. Why? you'll ask me, but he needs to be matir the Isur Me'ila, no less than a Gadol, because he's included in the Isurim. And the answer is that the Isur is because he didn't make a bracha. So you have to start and postulate a Chiv bracha. You know, once you say that you're obligated in a bracha, then you go on and set up an Isur and a Birchas HaMatir. But we have to start with a Chovis bracha. The Kohen doesn't have a Chovis bracha because he's not included in mitzvahs. So let's just see what he says on the bottom. Maybe he'll say what I said. I didn't cheat. He says the following: Yitochin de chalim shnei dinim ve tuyim zebeze me'achar shekot. Oh, this is probably what I said. Me'achar shekot potu michovas birchas anenim b'toras birchas hasheva. Harei potu nami mi isra achilu below bracha. Oh, so yeah. So this we would say as far as meisom mutlufon. Right, Tosfos shita is that Mesum Mutulfonov is absolutely excluded from a bracha. That means he's an onen and he eats without a bracha. Even though an onen is included in all Isurim in the Torah. You know, an onen is not allowed to kill somebody. But the answer is that the chiyuv bracha is what generates the Isur. So when the onen eats food without making a bracha, he's not violating any Isur because he doesn't have the chovas bracha. Because he's osik b'mitzvah potter from all the mitzvahs. So again, the Isur is generated by the Chovas Bracha. Now again, this is paradoxical. And I'm not sure if I understand this on a deep level. If you could help me out, I'd appreciate it. The Rav has just finished saying that a Chiv Shevach is only Durabbanon. And the Matir is Doraisa, because also the other letters be an Olam Ezebel Bracha, it's Kilu Mal. But now the Rav is saying that the Chiv Bracha starts first, and then it kicks off an Isur. You know, it's like, tell me if I'm crazy about this, but when NASA sends out into outer space? Not a satellite, what's it called?
A rocket ship.
A rocket ship. So that very often there's one rocket ship inside another rocket ship. You know,
a capsule.
So it goes up to a certain, it leaves the stratosphere, and then it shoots off another piece. So what the Rav is saying now is that perhaps a katan is not included in the Isur because the Isur is projected at a second stage by the Chiyuv Bracha, and he's not included in the Chiyuv Bracha because he's a katan. Well, I have a problem with this. I'll tell you why. Because the Rav has just finished convincing us that the Chiyuv Bracha is only the Rabbanan. How could the Chiyuv Bracha project an Isur Doraisa? Meaning, you can't, it's a paradox. You can't start with an Isur Rabbanan, with a Chiyuv Rabbanan, and say, well, the Chiyuv Rabbanan generates an Isur Doraisa. I don't know how that works, you know?
What comes first, the cart or the horse?
Yeah, if he would have said that there's an independent Isur of Osulahenos, that was a simple shot, and then we would include a katan because he's included in Isurim, you can't feed him the velo.
Right.
Nicha, then I would understand that a katan would be obligated in Birchas Hanenim because it's an Isur, just like he can't eat nevelo. But if you're saying now that a katan is potter from Birchas Hanenim, why? Because you have to start with a Chovas Shevach, and only when you have a Chovas Shevach, then you project, in that projectile, you project an Isur Hanah. And since the katan doesn't have a Chovas Bracha except included in mitzvahs, the Meili doesn't have the Isur. Now I'm stuck with the paradox, because it turns out that you start this whole process of a Chiyuv Bracha with a Durabbanan, and that Durabbanan triggers off an Isur Doraisa. I don't know if there could be such a thing. It's antithetical to everything we know about the halachic universe. You can't start with a Chiyuv Durabbanan and then end up with a Chiyuv Doraisa. So that's the problem that I have. Alright, so let's make a note of where we got to. And believe it or maybe tomorrow, you'll still be at tomorrow's theater. So tomorrow maybe we'll try to finish
it. Tomorrow.
Okay. Steve, you'll be at tomorrow's.
If I can have a summary the day next day, just a little summary.
On Tuesday. Yeah, Mitzvah Hashem. Well, it depends if we're still working on the same, because very often every day is a different unit. So you don't need a summary.
Because it's, as a result, we have a whole unit.
Right. So in Mirza Shem, in about 10 minutes or so, or even less, we'll start Sanhedrin.
Good.
Okay, then?
We're going to be there. And which are they, the pages we already have?
I'll be here.
So let's see which pages we can do for Sanhedrin, but we still have a little bit of a break, which is good. Okay.
Thank you.